119, Psalm 119. It is a joy to be able to be here today. Good to see several of you. And my glasses are on the right direction. I actually speak in three languages because I have trifocals. How many of you go to the grocery store and you do this number like this? Could we? Yeah. It started off that I didn't need glasses. Then I needed glasses. And then I went to the military and they said, "Why are you wearing glasses?" And I caught my tongue because the first thing I was going to say, I think a doctor recommended it, but I watched what I said there for very obvious reasons. I don't know about the rest of you, but I got tired of doing push-ups after about the first week. And I seemed to do them anyhow. I don't know what I did wrong, but I didn't ask what I did wrong. I just did what they said. So then I didn't wear glasses, and I took a flight exam to fly helicopters, and I didn't need glasses. And then I started pronouncing things that Jesus has never heard before, and my wife was laughing during the services. And after I'd get done, I'd say, "Honey, what did I say?" She says, "You won't believe why you pronounced that." And so I was seeing words that aren't in the Bible, I guess. So I went back to glasses, and then I noticed that my arms were short, and so I had to go to bifocals, you know, and that wasn't too bad. Now I've gone to trifocals, and I'm praying that there's not another one in there because I'm having trouble. My wife has the in the lens? Progressive. Mine are degressive. They are. I have more knots on my head for trying to work on a tractor or a mower or something, so I've come up with a miracle that they didn't say at the optometrist's office. How many of you have bifocals? Any of you have bifocals? Any of you have trifocals? Oh, you've not experienced fun until you had trifocals. So what I do when I'm working on something, laying on my back, is I do this number here, and I can see it then that way. I'm trying to give you enough time to be able to find Psalm 119. Have you found it there? Now, we're going to put one finger there, okay? Not the finger you pick your nose with, but another finger there. And go to Proverbs chapter 30, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to read in Psalm 119 first. My wife and I had the privilege last night to spend some time with your preacher and his wife, and I was excited about that. I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yes." And so we enjoyed a meal last evening with them and some time of fellowship. He sure does love you folks. Oh, he loves you with a passion very, very deeply in that. All right, I'm going to go ahead and let you be seated because we're going to read several different verses. But let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to take off on verse number 18. Father in heaven, I thank you for the word of God. I ask you, Father, for your anointing. I ask for your filling. And most of all, Father, I pray for your power. I want to be able to be a blessing. But Father, I want to be able to rightly divide in your word more than anything. So I hunger to be just a tool. I don't care if anyone forgets anything that I would say, but I pray that what they would hear from the word of God or learn from a principle of your word, that, Father, that would last and stay. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for these people that have come to Sunday school. I pray your blessing, and again, I ask you for your filling for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. One day in my devotions this week, I'm reading, of course, this passage of Scripture we're going to look at. I want you to think with me in your mind. There are things that we have every day in our life that we take for granted. We take our eyesight for granted until we lose our eyesight. We take our hearing for granted until one or the other of a relationship. And that is an enjoyable time. That's called a time of not a fight in a husband and wife, but of time of intense fellowship. How many of you ladies understand about you saying something to your husband and he didn't get it the way you said it? Would you raise your hand, please? Oh, we have that. Now, fellas, how many of you say something to your wife and she didn't get it? Would you raise your hand, please? The ladies, keep them up there. We want to see this. Could you raise them a little higher, please? Ladies, see, it's not just your husband. It's a pile of us out there. All right? And I'll say to my wife, and then she'll say, "You're not listening." And I'll want to say, "You're not saying it so I can understand it." But those things, well, we know, you know, I think I told you before, my wife and I in 51 years have never had a fight. In all those years, it's been a blessing. Now, we've had a multitude time, and we go on record for a multitude time of intense fellowship. And we've had that. But you take your eyesight, and then all of a sudden, age comes. Hearing, age comes. Teeth. You start having situations. Yesterday, My body talked to me a little bit, and I knew during the night the rain was coming. How many of you understand that one? I got knots where there wasn't supposed to be knots, but they're now called arthritis and things like that. In those days of boxing, and I busted this hand 3 times, now there's knots and different things on it, and you want to take a hammer now in my life and smash it to get it to hurt. But life changes. There are principles that are all around us that we look at them just like our eyesight, our hearing, our teeth, our physical body, and we don't learn from them. I wished I had not done some things in my youth because I'm feeling the results of what I did in my youth. Any of you play sports? And we were invincible in football. You were invincible in this or invincible in that. And now those things happen. I'm afraid that there's things in our world that God wants us to look at. He wants us to learn, and we take them for granted. I want you to look in your Bible in verse number 18, Psalm 119. We're going to get to the lesson, but as I was having my devotions one morning this week, these verses spoke to me. Look at verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things. Look at me, please, out of thy law. How many times have you read your Bible? Have I read my Bible? And we've come back again and we say this statement, I never saw that. And we'd like to share with our mate. Honey, did you see this? Or share with the children in devotions. Dad was having devotions and mom was having devotions. And I saw this. And God says, open thou mine eyes. Now, if you're reading, you're opening your eyes. But it is a verbal expression of learning principles that are just not sight. I think you could probably relate with this, but Mrs. Smith and I live an hour from the Claysmill Baptist Church. And there are times that I get home and I don't know how I got there because I'm used to the road, I'm used to the curves, or we'll drive and I'll say, honey, I've never seen that. And she'll say, and this is, it hurts my heart, but she'll say, honey, that's been there for 6 months. And I'll find something, honey, did you see that? Yeah, I saw that the other day. No, I'll try to find something that she won't see. God's word is alive. It's breathing. It's His way of speaking to us. And so many times we read to check off on a list. We read to be done with that. And we miss principles that God put there. And most of the time, they're very simple and they're very small. Look at verse number 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Go to verse 27. In verse number 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. I'm going to stop there, read on, but I want you to think about this. How many of us, my wife and I, were not saved? We were out of a good all-American home. Of course, differently, didn't know each other. And there were principles that our parents did not know were biblical principles. In other words, if you go back when we were younger, we lived in a different society. We're both now 71 years of age. And to us, that doesn't seem long. But as I go back and I look, it was normal to not go to town unless you're appropriately dressed. I had 4 sets of clothes. Work clothes, going to school clothes, going to town clothes, and church clothes. How many can raise your hand? Today, it's a dress-down society. Today, for wearing the best, because the priests wore the best, and we say, where did it come from? That we should wear the best that we have when we come to God's house. Now, the best that somebody might have might be, when I was a boy, a good pair of blue jeans or a good pair of bib overalls. But then when I got a suit, and then when I got dress shoes, and then when I got a white shirt, and then when I got a tie, Mama said, those are going to be your Sunday clothes. And it was a natural thing in my mind to be able to go to the house of God and to wear my Sunday clothes. We were a small farm, but we raised livestock and we had chickens and da-da-da-da all over. So on Saturday, we would come to town. We would sell eggs. We'd sell butter. We'd sell cream. We'd sell cottage cheese. We'd sell different things that we had produced, maybe out of our garden. But I didn't wear my work clothes and I didn't wear my Sunday clothes. And those principles actually came from the Word of God. And we're not going to talk about that today. But what we're going to do is reinforce some things that you and I might see and pass right on by and not understand. Everybody, amen. Where's Brother Dave going with this? Just hang on, and I promise you, I won't get there without you, okay? All right, look at verse number 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. If I just stopped, I could teach a series of lessons on just that one verse, but we're not going to go. But God is telling you and me, there's things that I want to teach you. There's things that you need to know. There's things that you need to learn. Aren't you thankful that somebody said if you touch the stove, you're going to get burned? Aren't you thankful that somebody said if you don't go to bed at night and get some sleep, you're going to be tired the next morning? We were just with some college students during the Thanksgiving hour of some cousins. We went to our son-in-law and our daughter's home, and some of their cousins got together from three different families, and they wanted to stay up and talk. Come about 8 o'clock, I said, we'll see you. Now, I didn't go to bed then. I read for a little while. Then my wife and I did go to bed earlier, but I wanted to get up the next morning. More people will stay up late, miss their devotions the next morning and their Bible time, but they don't realize what the Bible says about going to bed and getting up early. Now, I'm going to read two more verses here, and then we're going to shift gears, and we're going to look at something that's all around us every day. Okay? Here we go. Verse 36. Incline my ear unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. We're living in a very covetous society. I've got to have this, I've got to have that. And God's already told us in some verses, if you'd see some things and learn some things that I have around you, you wouldn't be fighting that like you are. Verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. That last phrase, who is devoted to thy fear, or I could say this, who is devoted to honoring God with your life. Now, take your Bible and go to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. I love hunting. I love fishing. I love being in the outdoors. I love nature. And I wished that we could take and put together somehow an opportunity for all us just to go picture what we're about to see. I don't know if you've ever done a study. I'm sure Pastor has, and maybe he's taught it or not. But I want you to look at verse number 24 in Proverbs 30. There be four things which are little upon the earth, look at the last phrase, but they are wise. No. They are exceeding wise. God says these are far greater than you can imagine. God says these are far more important than you can imagine. God says these are rather greater teaching us principles, and I'm going to give you four of them here today, and you might want to write some things down. But did you ever think about this? The animals that God refers to in the Word of God, that they were created for reasons. I wrote down five different things. We see all the way back in the book of Genesis that God created all the animals. And what did God say about all the animals that he created? It was good. Now I want you to think about this. Let's go to 4,000 years here on this earth. I'm sorry, 2,000 years here on this earth. At around 2,000 years, give or take 100 or so years, there was an ark that was built. There was a man, his wife, his children, and their mates went into the ark. What else went into the ark? Animals. So that causes me to think, wait a minute, God must want us to learn a lot from animals that were around. And God just told us in Proverbs chapter 30, he said, these four are little, but they are exceeding wise. God created the animal kingdom for sight and sound, the beauty of a bird painted, the beauty of the singing of the songs. God created for provision. God created some animals for clothing for you and for me, for food for us to eat. God created certain animals for preservation of nature. There are animals that they were created totally to be able to keep nature cleaned up. Number four, I wrote this down. Some animals were created for our protection. Animals allow us to know when storms come. I don't know if you've ever raised any livestock, and I know several of you that do, but if you and I were having a bad storm come and we had a herd of horses or herd of cattle, I can promise you that you watch, and I don't mean to be crude, but the backside of those animals will turn in the direction of the storm. They don't need to look at their weather app. They don't need to turn on a television. They have a God-given truth. Another thing, if you'll begin to think about the birds that are beautiful singing. Before a major storm comes, and Mrs. Smith and I have had to go through some tornadoes, it gets deathly quiet of all nature. There was not an announcement made. It was a way that God created them to sense certain things. And God says there are certain animals that are very, very small. Matter of fact, these animals are actually a pest. But I created them because they're exceedingly wise. So animals were created for our pleasure. Animals were created for our provision. Animals were created for our preservation. Animals were created for our protection. But you know what? I like this. Animals were created for a purpose. God created them for us to learn by them.
Amen.
Who taught the little sparrow, mother and father, to go get the feed, to feed the little baby sparrow? Who taught the snake to hide in its place, to go deep in the ground when the winters come? Who taught the birds to fly? Who taught the eagle to be able to soar like it does and to be able to plunge to the earth at over 100 miles an hour, to be able to see down in the depths of the water? Who did that? What did God teach us to learn? I just read this week that the formation of the eagle is the exact form of the last bomber that the United States of America has created.
Amen.
I looked at it and I thought, wow. They studied for almost 10 years the altitude, the diving possibility, the vision, what happens, and the American Eagle, and they designed our last bomber on the way that the eagle flies. God says these four animals be small, but they're exceeding wise. Animals were in creation from Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 through 31. Animals preserved. Well, Brother Dave, what does that give to us? This world is going to work overtime to discourage us. The battles that we go through individually, the battles that we go through as a family, the what we're seeing happen in our country. Now, in God's plan, it's all in His plan. God's still in control, and God knows what's going on. And through even your own preacher that you love dearly, and the sickness that he has, and the what's going to happen and everything, God says, I want you to understand, if I made these little animals, I'm controlling all the situations and the circumstances, and I don't want to use the word, it's going to be okay, but I want to use these words, God's in charge, and God knows. And we've got to keep our mind that way, and we've got to keep going forward in a way that will keep us in that right relationship with God Almighty. So let's look at these next little four animals in verses number 25 down through verse number 28. The first animal that we begin to look at is in verse 25. The ants are the people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Now, I want you to picture for me right now between 75 and 80 degrees outside, a small little breeze, and we've all finished work today, and we've called the wife ahead of time, and we say, we're going to go on a family picnic. And of course, a good wife would fry chicken. A good wife would make deviled eggs. A good wife would make a fresh apple pie. A good wife would make an unbelievable, delicious potato salad. Somebody say, I can relate with that. Okay, amen. And of course, we've got some fresh loaf of bread there, and we've got some Jersey cow butter. Nothing bought in town. We got some Jersey cow butter, and we're going on a picnic. And boy, I tell you what, the kids are excited, and mom's doing all the work, and dad's just going to come home and load it all up, and we're going to pack up, and we're going to go on a picnic. So picture with my mind the beautiful lake that's out there. Nobody else is at the park. It's just us, and we lay the blanket out on the ground, and mama sets the chicken, fried chicken. Shouldn't eat it, but it's delicious. Amen. So we're going to put the fried chicken there and the deviled eggs, sliced maters. Amen. I can taste how many is hungry already. And we go to it there. And dad says, okay, come on, kids. And everybody comes and sits down. And while you and I sit down and we bow our heads and we ask God's blessing on the food, there they come. And as soon as we say amen, they've come up over the edge of the blanket. They're attacking the potato salad. They're going over on the bread and the butter, and they're getting all over it. And we want to destroy those animals that we know as ants. Where did they come from? They weren't here before. Or she opens her kitchen cabinets, and we hear that scream as we're working outside. There's ants in my cabinets. And we come in and you think, what? But God says they're exceeding wise.
Right.
So I want you to think about something right now. The ant will work all spring, all summer, and slow down in the fall. They will get every drop of food that they can. An ant, as I know it sounds crazy, but I studied, there's over 4,000 different kinds of ants that they found here in the United States of America. Who decided to take pictures and study them all? I don't know. I just read the statistics. An ant can carry 8 times its weight. An ant works in a circumference of almost 1.5 miles. They literally take pieces of whatever it is of edible food, and they will store it and store it and store it and store it and store it, because they're a creature that looks ahead and prepares what's ahead. They're called a creature of preparation.
Right.
How many times in our life we've been caught because we didn't prepare? How many times in our life that we did something we knew we didn't put it on a schedule because we're going to remember it, and we forgot about it, and we're not prepared? How many times did it come time for us to teach something at Vacation Bible School, be prepared for Sunday school, be prepared for whatever it was, to be able to lay aside, and what ended up happening? We were not prepared for that. You know, when I begin to look and I begin to think about the little ants, they're a pest. When there's a way we could get rid of all of them, that would be it. But in God's plan, He said, I want you to learn from them. They're a creature of preparation. A creature of preparation. They look ahead. They're preparing for the winter months. They've made their homes down under the ground. They literally go miles and miles and miles by digging and burrowing and finding that place and taking that food and storing that food. And God says they're little, but they're exceeding wise. The next animal that I want you to look about and to think about is the very next verse. If you look up in a dictionary or you look up in an encyclopedia, or you go ahead and go on your phone and you say, what is a coney? You would see an animal that's not looking like the animal that I'm going to tell you about, but I'm going to tell you about something that you and I could relate with. They're very good, but they hide in safe places. The Bible says the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. You ever seen something stick its head out of a hole? A coyote could not come and knock the rocks away because it could come. A hawk could not come down and dive for it because it has the safety of the stones that it lives in. I want to call it today, for you and I to look in the visual, as a rabbit. You ever seen them stick the head up? They'll dart here, there, dart there. They'll look to the left, they'll look to the right, because what they're doing is they are anticipating something coming and get them. They might not be able to see a hawk. They might not be able to see another animal of a coyote or a wolf or something that would be in the woods that would be able to go ahead and attack them and destroy them. God says this little animal is small. Matter of fact, this little animal doesn't produce very much. Yes, it can be killed, and yes, the meat can be that, and yes, the fur or the hide from the outside can be used to manufacture, but God says it's an exceeding wise animal because it just doesn't trunge into everything. It's an animal that says, I want you to look ahead. I want you to anticipate this. My friend, the devil's after you and for me. Every day of our life, we should get up and read our Bible. Every day of our life, we should spend time with God in prayer. I might not need to use what I read this morning in my devotions right this day, but I will need to use it someplace, because I'm anticipating that someplace down the road, the devil is going to hit me broadside. But I want the Word of God in my heart, the Word of God in my life, that it will be my strength. So when I look at the ant, I think, what is there any use of it? But God says, I want you to look at it. It's a creature of preparation. It's preparing for what's coming ahead. The coney is a creature of anticipation. It is anticipating situations and circumstances that would happen. Can I be honest with you? I don't understand to this day how King David wasn't in the place that he should be, doing what he should do in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when he walked up on the porch of his palace that night and he looked at that woman and he lusted after her. If he would have just thought, where am I to be? I'm to be leading the troops. I cannot believe it that when the law was given to Moses, that the people of God became impatient and they did what they did. They weren't anticipating falling away from God. They weren't preparing for the devil to be able to attack them and lure them away. My friend, the same thing is happening to you and me today. The ant might be a small ant, but my friend, we must be preparing. Stop and think this. You'll have your oil changed because you're preparing for that vehicle. You'll check your tires before you go on a trip because you're anticipating the possibility of trouble. You'll go ahead and make sure you've got plenty of money before you leave on that vacation or you leave on that trip. You'll go ahead and look and see shoes are worn out. And you'll say, well, I need to be watching for a sale. It convicts my heart of all the things in our lives each day that we don't prepare for. I don't know when I or my wife will go to heaven. I don't know if we'll go together. I don't know if we'll go separately. I've been talking to people that have lost their mates. You know why? I don't want to quit. I don't want to give up. I don't want to say, God, it's not fair. I don't want to say, I don't understand. I want to prepare. Anticipation. I don't know why. I don't understand why Pastor Jerry Ross got cancer. But you know what I want to do? I want to anticipate the devil using anything to get me out of the house of God and to keep me from, or to try to get me to be unfaithful. You see, we've raised a generation that we see casualty after casualty after casualty because I don't know that we're preparing ourselves. I don't know if you men or you ladies were in the military, but can I tell you this? A soldier's not going to go on a battlefield without ammunition. A soldier's not going to go on a battlefield without supplies of food. A soldier's not going to go on a battlefield without all the supplies that they need to be able to complete a mission and to be able to complete that mission successfully. A doctor's not going to go into surgery without knowing that the instruments that he's going to use will be sanitized. A doctor's not going to start surgery without knowing what to do. Are you with me today?
Amen.
It's simple, but I need you to evaluate in your mind and in your heart, am I preparing? Am I preparing for heaven? Am I preparing for a face-to-face meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I anticipating that someday will be my last day? And is my service what it should be for God? Because I'm going to have to give a report of my life here on this earth. And right now, at the age that Mrs. Smith and I are, it doesn't seem logical that God would have us to resign our positions and give up our salary and leave where we've had an opportunity to be able to serve the Lord. But I want to meet my Lord. And I want to be prepared that if God would say to me, I need you not just to leave Clay's Mill, but I need you to go to the mission field. I want to anticipate that God and be ready for whatever God wants. They always said on a battlefield, it's a shot that you don't hear that gets you. I don't know, but I believe it because that's what I was told. The third animal that I want you to see is verse number 27. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. I don't know if you've ever been out west or even in the Midwest here. Some people call them katydids, but locusts. When they go into a beautiful field and they literally destroy it and they eat the crops almost down to nothing so they can't be produced. God says, I want you to look at the locusts. Hear them clicking. Hear them clicking. Hear the noise of them in the fall. It's a sound of winter coming. But now wait a second. There's no leader in the locusts. There's no commander in the locusts. God says in the verse 27, the locusts have no king. You know, it seems like, and God gives us principles for leadership. And God gives us principles for pastoral leadership. And God gives us principles for an employer to be a leader of a company. And God gives us principles that a mom and dad are to be leading the home. And dads are responsible for that. And God gives us those principles. But God says in these animals right now, He said, why don't we look and see? We just need to be busy doing what we're supposed to be doing. And be a creature. Are you ready for this? This is a dangerous word in this world today. A creature of organization. Our lives are totally out of control. Our lives are sometimes the most disorganized that ever been before. I don't know about the rest of you, but I wasn't allowed to come out of my room when I was a boy until the bed was made. Now you can go into homes and bus homes and maybe some of even Christians' homes that come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and the order of organization is nothing. It's not. And we look at it as a facade. We look at it as a pain. But God is a God of order. God is a God of creation that created order in this society and in this world we live in. My friend, summer doesn't come before winter. Fall comes before winter. And you know the seasons. My friend, 10 in counting doesn't come after 22. And everything that we do in life, I want to be able to go and get. How many of you get a package that you didn't order, but they said you ordered and they sent it, but somebody just decided to fulfill the job and they grabbed something off the shelf, put it in the box and sent it to you, and you open it up and say, this is not what I ordered. Right now, you can go into a business. We've been into two places, just quick shops, not quick shops, but quick food places, just to get a cup of coffee and a sign on the door. We will open when all the employees get here. It happened in Michigan just 2 weeks ago, and it happened on the way up here at a Burger King. And I'm not against any of those places, but I'm stopping. Our world is so out of order and organization that we've now raised a society, hang on, that thinks, well, if I can get on this program, this program, this program, this program, if I can go ahead and apply for this and apply for this, and my friend, the organization is going to destruction. And that's exactly what the devil wants to end up happening. But let's look at it in our lives. What's out of order in my life? What's out of order in my daily life? What's out of order in my home? What's out of order in my walk with God? What's out of order in my prayer life? What's out of order? And I want you to look and realize it's the animals that he's talking about. God says, look at these animals. He says, look at the ant. It's a creature of preparation. Look at the coney. It's a creature of anticipation. It's looking ahead. And God says, look at the locust. It's a creature of organization. It doesn't have somebody do this and do this and do this and take care of this. They can work together and there's no leadership whatsoever and they're getting the job done. My friend, as I look at this, I look at where we are in our world today. We're living now at a time where a lie in the world's eyes is not a lie. We're at a place right now that I went and cast the votes and for voting, but how many of you, and please don't raise your hand, I wondered if this will be counted correctly. I voted long enough that we still got one state that hasn't even turned all their votes in yet. And I can remember when you could go ahead and listen on the radio or look at the next morning newspaper and everything would be tabulated. But my friend, we voted back in the first week of November and there's a state in this union of ours that they haven't even turned in all the votes yet. Hello? Yeah. My friend, if you and I look at our world today, the preparation of the days ahead are gone. I'm not against it. If you have an electric car and more power to you, and if you like that, go ahead. I was hoping you'd get that when I said more power to you. But has anybody noticed, especially here in coal country and down in Kentucky coal country, they're shutting down all electric plants? I just talked to a state representative this week from Kentucky. Kentucky has on the books, they're going to try to get a law this year that they're going to go on all the interstate system in Kentucky. Every 50 miles will be 4 charging stations. You think you've had trouble in traffic jams? We get enough electric cars out there and there's only 4 places to charge and it's going to take a half hour to charge at the rate they're going to construct them. They got all figured out, but they've taken the world and they've turned it totally upside down as far as God saying to you and I as a Christian, let's look at the ant. It's a creature of preparation. Let's look at the coney. It's a creature of anticipation. Let's look at the locust. It's a creature of organization. And I don't know that. How many of you had a set of parents that if everything wasn't in order in your closet, the door got closed and you got threatened with the edge of your life? Now, they wouldn't have said that, but you believed that they... And my daddy said to me one time, son, I'll take you out and make another one just like you. And I believed him. I mean, my dad was 6'5" and my mama was 4'10". Guess which one I took after? But he was an old German fella, and his word was past the law of God. It was. Number four. Are you with me today? I'm not attacking. I just want us to help. God's people ought to be the most orderly people on the face of the earth. God's people ought to be the most prepared people. Jesus is coming again. And we have a world that is going to die and go to hell. But we've got a world that thinks if I gain the money, I'll be okay. If I gain the things, I'll be okay. If I gain the position, I'll be okay. If I get this advancement, I'll be okay. I mean, when I was a boy, I played in every sport I could. And I've got a 1958 ball, hardball, that I was watching the Detroit Tigers, and my Uncle Jerome and my dad were there and said, would you like to have the Tigers sign that ball? And I said, yes. And I went down, actually, in 1958 in the locker room of the Detroit Tigers in Detroit, Michigan, and I have the signature of Ted Williams on a hardball and all the 1958 Detroit Tigers. We walked in there. Cornflakes box. Remember the pictures that they were now? Go to any minor league you want to. Go to any college football game you want to and see what it costs you to get an autograph of anybody and see if they'll even give you the time. Because you see, we have taken off of what God says is joy and what God says is happiness and what God says is peace and what God says is direction, and we've turned that all around. So we as God's people ought to be prepared. And that's a daily, continual process.
Amen.
We as God's people ought to anticipate the devil attacking, anticipate what's going to end up happening, anticipate. We've allowed boy-girl relationships to begin so small and so early. We're not anticipating of a young lady losing her heart, losing purity, losing. I get books given to me all the time. Get say, Dave, you ought to watch this movie. Wait, wait a minute. We're living in a society that has taken so much wrong and made it so bad. Do you ever think about some of the things that we look and watch? Are we anticipating? What's there? The last animal. The last animal. Look with me. The ant's a creature of what? Talk to me.
Preparation.
The coney's a creature of what?
Anticipation.
The locust is a creature of what?
Organization.
How many of you like spiders? Mrs. Smith got bit with one. We have no idea where it was. We're preaching a missions conference in Michigan. She woke up. She looked at me. And I said, honey, it looked like I hauled off and gave her a right cross right across her left eye. Her nostril was swelled twice the size. Her eye had a bag of fluid underneath it. It was over here. And I thought, man, I hit her good. And I didn't even realize how good I hit her. And we come to find out it was a spider bite. Walk with me in a path in the woods. And you knock it all down. And we come back through the path and there it is again. God says something interesting in verse number 28. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palaces. Well, if we stop and we think, boy, I know the spiders can crawl and get here, and we spray and we have the exterminator come and we try to kill them and they're still making everything. But God directs us to the king's palaces. There's no place cleaner than a king's palace. And God says, as clean, as sanitary, as spick and span, as detailed in everything at king's palace is, the spiders keep coming. You know, we have Christians today that are quitters. I'm just not going to take it any longer. I can't handle this. I give up. I'm throwing it all in. And God says, I want you to look at the spider. It's in the king's palaces. So I scratched my head and I thought, what is a spider? It's a creature of determination.
Right.
It doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. As I look at these four animals, God says in verse number 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. In World War II, a soldier had been downed. He was a pilot. He escaped from his burning aircraft, but he knew that the enemy would be after him. He ran to a house. He hid down in the basement. He heard the armament coming. He heard the voices of the soldier. But he was in this basement and there was so much light. So he went up to a bedroom and he hid in a closet. And he began to beg God for his protection. The soldiers came to the house. The soldiers stomped through all the rooms. They came to the bedroom where he was at and the closet. And one soldier looked at the closet door that the soldier had tried to quietly close, but it wasn't closed. And the soldier, knowing the German language, heard these words: "He's not here because there's a spider web on the door." In a matter of moments, for that soldier to get into that closet and to almost close that door that he thought he would soon be found, God sent a spider to do a small spider web, and an enemy soldier said, "He can't be in there because there's a spider web." The spider is a creature of determination. If you and I would be determined to stand for God, determined to fight the devil, if we would realize that God says these animals are small but exceeding wise, that the ant prepares for those seasons, and you and I would, in every area we can, I know that I don't know what's tomorrow, but God does. And what I can do, I should do. I know that anticipating, I don't want to live in a life of worry, but I want to be what I need to be for God. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not" what?
Sin.
Then that locust is organization. If you and I would just say, "I'm going to get up and I'm going to read my Bible this time. I'm going to spend this much time in prayer. We are going to have family devotions. We are going to and be organized in our lives." We look at the spider and we realize we don't like them. We don't want them. But God says they don't quit. They don't give up. I don't know what's happened in your life this week or what's looking ahead. I know I've looked at this and I've wrote it in my Bible a long, long time ago. And as I was praying what God would have us to do today, you didn't prepare for your preacher to get sick, and neither did he. But God knew what was going to happen. You didn't anticipate what it was going to do to your church. And maybe there's somebody that you've loved and something's ended up happening. And maybe you've lost somebody very dear to you. We're all going to die. I was out soul winning one day and stopped by a man's house who was very wealthy. He answered the door. I introduced myself and the man that was soul winning with me. And he closed the door for a moment. He punched a button and the garage doors went up and three cars that I can't even tell you the name. He come back and he said, "Look at me." And I looked at him and he says, "You just tell me what more I need. And why would I need to know about God?" I said to myself, "Lord, what do I say to this man?" And I looked at him and I said, "Sir, everybody's going to die, and all those things aren't going to mean anything to you." He allowed me to share Christ with him. But then, my friend, today, I'll be the first to raise my hand that I'm tired sometimes, but I don't want to lose my determination to keep on going. Physically, mentally, emotionally. But my friend, let's look at these four animals, because God says they're exceeding wise. They prepare, they anticipate, they're organized, and they're determined. Father in heaven, thank you for the time that we've been together in your word. I pray, Father, that it might be of an encouragement or help to somebody. Prepare our hearts for the morning service. In Jesus' name, amen.